हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so then we're on Krishna Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 1. General description of Bhagavan and Paramatma. Adhikarana 1, general description of Bhagavan and Paramatma. Anucheda 1, Adhikarana Pradashika. This Adhikarana details the relation between the Paramatma and Bhagavan aspects of the Absolute Truth, with emphasis on oneness of their Sarup. The author cites the discussion of the sages with Sutta Goswami from the third chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam to establish this principle. It is stated here that Paramatma, an amsa of Bhagavan, is called as the Purusha incarnation, because he manifests the places for the total, samasti, and individual jivas, vyasti, as the universe, loka, shishrikshaya. But before the creation, when the desire to manifest the bodies of the jiva was absent, only the form of Bhagavan existed. Thus, the form of Bhagavan is the original source and shelter of all his manifestations in the material world. Paramatma is described as being full of all shaktis.
Does it actually mean that Bhagavan is beyond Vyasti and Samasti?
He is
in his own category?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why it's... I think Prabhupada mentioned it once, but it's not something to bring up so much as that Krishna, because he's the source of spiritual, he's beyond spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the whole thing. But as soon as you say that, you know, synapses, you know, short out and everything. So I tried it once, but it didn't go well. Yes.
Also the Bhagavad Gita works, which says he's within him and everything is within him. He's within everything and everything is within him.
Yes.
But still he's beyond that.
Yes.
That beyond aspect is the Bhagavan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It still means it's transcendental enough, because we're defining spiritual to be basically not material. So that's there. But the spiritual manifestation, seeing that as Shakti, he's beyond that. You know, and he's the source of all the Vishnu Tattvas. So he includes them. So he includes them, they don't include him. So that's why I mentioned here, oneness of the Sarup, the emphasis is on that, but the mood will be different. That's where it will be. So the Sarup is one, the mood will be different. Like that. So it's a fine point, but it's just because of doing this, then you get Braj. You can get to Braj. Otherwise, if you don't go to this extent, then you'll be dealing with Tadekatma Rupa. You won't be dealing with his original Sarup. You know, so that's just like you see with those who deal with Tadekatma Rupa, they can only go up to Mathura. You know, because they Maha Narayan, you know, the source of all that. And then from there, then you see then Sankarshan and Vasudeva are expanding. You know, and then you have Krishna and Balaram and Dwarka. So that's how they see Krishna and Balaram. So even if you have Vrindavan pastimes, there's still an expansion there. So they're part of Goloka. That Vrindavan that they're seeing and talking about is part of Goloka, not Gokul. So it's actually the lower level. So that's the difficulty, is that it is the pastimes of Krishna, just like in a day of Brahma, then there'll be 1,000 cycles of the yugas. So that means every dwapara, the avatar is going to be black, and he'll be Krishna, and he'll perform his pastimes. But 999 of those will be Tadikatna Rupa. And once in the day of Brahma, then there will be Swayam Krishna. You know, so that's the thing, you know, and then that's, you know, the 28th side, you know, 28th of the cycles, you know, like this, you know, in this manu, you know, like that, because you have a thousand of them, so, you know, it's divided up, and this one is where Swayam Krishna will come. You know, then you get Swayam Ram, you get Swayam Lord Chaitanya, otherwise there also will be the Vishnu. So when it says that all the Swamsas are all expanding from Kiradakshaya Vishnu, that's the way it is. But that once in the day of Brahma, then the original Krishna, and the, you know, and all the, in other words, all the Goloka Wallas come, you know, like that. So it's a very fine point. So that's the aspect of making this fineness, because otherwise, like you see, is that. There's a good chance, let's say, we hear the that poetry of that Brahman in Puri. It would sound fine to us, but Sumudangar objected. You know? Only after hearing from that, then we go, oh, okay. So that's the thing, is that these fine points aren't there, like we're saying, you know. Vaishnavas are inviting Upa Sampradaya people. They're criticizing our acharyas, and we think it's very nice, open discussion. See, we're discussing with them. You can bring in the rickshaw wallahs. They'll criticize us. You know, they got their opinions. You don't have to go so, say, yeah, you know, so difficult and all that. And you know. So that's the point, is that there's lack of discrimination. And so that's what's happening here, is that refining that discrimination, so you can tell that difference. But at the same time, it's only because we're approaching from the parampara with that mood of surrender, then we'll understand it. So it's not because I've studied it, I'll know it. So that's why the idea is someone does, they do a Western academic degree in the Sandarbhas, and so therefore they're the most knowledgeable in the Sandarbhas. Not necessarily. If in their devotion they do, Krishna will reveal. But if they're simply following their mentor, there's a good chance that they won't understand anything. There are not many facts and things, but then they sit and argue. That's what's his name? Philadelphia Raj. Rabindra Sarup. Then, you know, he being from that environment, he says that so many PhDs, they sit down at the pub drinking beer and arguing over point, you know, some technical point that Jiva Goswami is talking about in one of the Sandarbhas. He says that's a reality. They do that because it's the best logic. You're not going to get better than this on the planet. And so they love talking about it, but they all have their opinion. You know, I think he says this, no, but if you touch this and this grammatical thing there, it could mean this. And so, you know, it's just speculation. And so, in their minds, they're the world's authority on this subject matter. But actually, since it's Krishna, it has to be revealed. So, if using the process of studying and analyzing, you do that in devotion, then Krishna will reveal himself. But if not, you do it, then how much you apply yourself to the grammar, the logical side of it, Krishna will reveal. You know, because that doesn't take the devotional. It means that you have to give, you're devoted to logic, and so therefore then in the form of logic that Krishna will appear. But you won't get Swayam Krishna. So, yeah, we're, okay. Paramatma is described as being full of all shaktis. Shodasha kalam. Oh, okay. Yeah, because also in the Pancharatra, they're basically dealing with Paramatma. Because
yes.
It's always about, when you're doing the puja, about, you know, the Sodashakala, the Dwadasakala, the Dasakala, all the different energies, the directions, all the different seats, and who's sitting where, and which one goes on top. Just like in the Lord's seat, then you're establishing, about, I think it's the moon has 16, the sun has...
Nakshatras?
No. It's the energies. Oh. You know, like in the yoga pee, you have 16 around, or you have 12 around. Yeah. So the different angas. So I think the moon is 16, the sun is 12, and I'm not sure who is made fire. I think he's 10. Like that. And those are all installed in the asana of the deity, you know, Vishnu. Like that, yes.
Because Lakshmi Tantra says these three demigods are the representatives of the Shakti on the earth, the main god.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sun, moon, and fire. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and then everything functions here. But then that's the thing, the spiritual world, it's beyond, so it doesn't require them to function or have light. It all comes from Krishna. They're self-effulgent. But here you require. So it's through them that Krishna manifests his energies. So it's interesting is that that's the whole point, is that when you talk about the Shaktis and controlling the Shaktis, that's Paramatma. When you talk about opulence, because the Shakti just means who's what, who does what, who has what power, who takes care of what. But the opulence, then that's going to mean the qualities and how you interact as a personality. Does that make sense? So as Paramatma, then you're going to describe in one way. But that Paramatma is Bhagavan. But when you describe them as Bhagavan, then they'll take on that other description. So,
yeah.
Paramatma is described as being full of all Shakti, Shodasha Kalam, in certain situations in order to respect his powers as Bhagavan. Though he is the ocean of Swarup Shakti, he is the creator and destroyer of universes by the actions of Maya, through proximity rather than contact. Being the expansion of Bhagavan, he is said to engage only with his Swarup Shakti. Thus, the form of Paramatma is not different from Bhagavan. So you want to establish as non-different, but you want to show that it's still, they're all dependent on Bhagavan. So you're showing, like before, that Brahman is situated on, it's not different from, but is still situated on the Lord. It's a feature. So then Paramatma, then how he controls and everything, because otherwise we think we control. And then here, now there's wrapping that up to show is that Paramatma, that is non-different. And then once that's all clear, then we can go on and directly discuss Bhagavan. Introductory verse. Is this verse in every one of them? Or it's just in this one?
Every Sandarbha, I think, has an introduction
one. Okay. Each one is different. Because I kind of remember hearing this one before.
I think...
Unless it was quoted. It may have been it was quoted before.
No, it is the same. Each one has
the same. Has the same one. Yeah. Okay. So introductory verse. I have repeatedly examined the original work, which was written by Gopal Bhatta, who greatly pleased Rupa and Sanatana, parts of which were in order, parts of which were out of order, and parts of which were incomplete. Putting it in a systematic order, I have written this work. Right, so then hearing from Rupa and Sanatana and then Gopal Bhakti Goswami, because he seemed to be a very major aspect of his service was compiling, you know, the teachings of Rupa and Sanatana. Like he did all the compilation of verses and that of the Hari Bhakti Vilas under the direction of Sanatana Goswami. You know, but Sanatana Goswami is telling him what to do. So it's his work, but he did that. So it seems here he's also hearing all the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya as given, because the Lord Chaitanya spoke to Rupa and Sanatana, so you're going to get that full kind of element there. Then he's going to put that into a description, you know, in a very nice way. But then dealing with the aspect of how people think in their logic, because we have to, there's the element that Jiva Goswami spent 20 years in Varanasi studying logic, right? And so the level he knows logic, no one else knows logic. It means there's no greater scholar than Jiva Goswami. He is the scholar in the contemporary age. I mean, you go back in other yugas, then maybe there's someone else. But in this age, he is the scholar. And so therefore, seeing what defects people could have in this understanding. Therefore, he took it for farther and put it into a particular order so that no one can make any mistake. So, and I think that was originally one work, but then it became divided. Maybe that's why he says this for each of the six, because it's just expanding on one book. Okay. Anucheta 1. This Sandarbha is written with the intention to describe Bhagavan, who is proved to be the supreme entity in the previous three Sandarbhas, Tattva, Bhagavat, and Paramatma Sandarbhas. Footnote 2. The word Atta at the beginning indicates this particular Sandarbha among many. In the second chapter of the first canto, it was said, Vedanti tat tattva vidha, Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11. One truth is called by the names Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. In the third chapter, these three forms of the Lord are described. Brahman is described in verses like the following. When the gross and subtle material forms, which are impositions on the soul in ignorance, are removed by the realization of the devotees, one can realize Brahman. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:33. Because you're understanding that you are, you can understand the Lord as Brahman, what is transcendental, and understand how the jiva is Brahman. So this is then where the stakes will be made, because you say, I am. Just like if I say, the gold fleck is non-different from the mine, the gold mine. So then, so it's the same. It is the gold mine. No, it's a fleck. But it's non-different. No, but you said it was non-different, so that means it is the gold. No, the qualities are the same, but the volume is not. Yes?
Maharaj said that people by their own logic can get up to the Brahman realization. And here it says that only when one relinquishes this gross and subtle identifications, okay.
Because they're trying to give that up. Main point is they give up the gross and subtle, but they don't give up the I'm the controller and enjoyer. That's why they can only get up to basically a partial understanding of Brahman, because they can only see Brahman from the negative perspective. They can't see the positive aspect, because the positive aspect is Brahman is the effulgence of Krishna's unlimited qualities. That's the positive side. They can only see the negative side of it, because they've negated the world, and so their logic can only negate, so they can only see the negative aspect. But you see then, you know that they do become broad-minded at one point and consider that they are that God. And so then, they do have that softer, liberal side to them. And if you're in the same philosophy, then you can also be Narayan and all that. You know, and then you get the wisdom. I am you, and you are me, and we are all together. Huh? That was an early Beatles song. Because they bumped into, one of the Rishikesh, Haridwar, Mahabadi Swamis.
Swami's reincarnated after being very broad-minded.
It may be, yes. Okay. Then, did I answer the question? Okay. Sometimes you start getting off. You went, did I actually? Okay. Since there is no doubt that Brahman appears in only one form, because it's that one unlimited form, but they're only seeing it in the negative aspect, so they only can see that it's unchanging, these things like that, those kinds. They don't see that it's the unlimited qualities of the Lord, so it's actually the basis of everything. That's why they say is the material energy can't come from Brahman. Or if it does, then it loses its changeless quality. Because they don't accept energies. But the point is Brahman is the effulgence of his energies. Right? And since he is with energies, then that's natural that's one of his forms. They're restricted in how much they can understand it, because, like you said, they're approaching from logic. They're not approaching with devotion. It means they have that devotion towards studying their logic, but that's not enough. So, Bhagavan, okay. It is not necessary to describe it elaborately, right? Because we've discussed it before. Bhagavan and Paramatma, however, are explained in detail. It was previously concluded that the Lord was not without form. The Lord Paramatma indicates the antaryami of all beings in these sandarbhas. Paramatma is explained in detail starting in the third chapter, first canto of Bhagavatam. Previously, one entity was described as three, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. What are the qualities of Brahman? Is there some distinction of Brahman from Bhagavan and Paramatma? Since there are many forms of the Supreme Lord, which is the form of Bhagavan and which is the form of Paramatma? What are the sarups of these two? When Shonaka and the sages asked these questions, Sutta replied by first describing Bhagavan and Paramatma, starting with the following. First of all, the Supreme Lord, with a desire for creating the worlds, manifested the form of the eternal first Purusha, full like the moon, who is united with Mahatattva and other elements. Srimad Bhagavatam 131, Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The third chapter is an answer to the request by the sages to describe the various avatars. This chapter explains that the Lord in one form alone makes his appearances and performs activities. At the end of the previous chapter, it was said that the Lord was absorbed in various lila avatars. What pastimes and what avatars are these? Sutta begins by describing the Purusha avatars in five verses. Parusham means with the form of a man or defined as a Purusha. Quote, by saying that the Lord accepts this form, it means that it did not exist before. That means it is a temporary form, end quote. I mean, so this must be the doubt. Right? Therefore, the form is described as asambhutam samyagbhutam, existing continuously. It is always situated in the sarup, which is the highest truth, param satyam. Maybe in these kind of things, then at the end of that, put in square brackets, put in, you know, the doubt, okay, you know, or something, you know, so that we always know that that's there. Because otherwise, you start off with thing, you know, defined as Purusha, or put it at the beginning in brackets, a doubt may arise, and then you put that, you know, so then you know. You don't have to work it out at the end. Therefore, this form is... Okay. The Lord accepted this form of the Purusha who eternally exists for creating the universes. He accepts a form which already exists. One never sees a sentence which is such as, he accepted the pot, where the pot did not previously exist. Similarly, we say, the king accepted the general because he desired victory. Amar Kosha says, Yukte kshad avrite bhutam pran yatite same trishu. Bhuta means joined with elements. You got an M? It's just like earth.
M is one.
With elements like earth, composed of a living being in the past in all three genders. Oh, I see. Okay. Bhuta means joined with elements like earth, or it means composed of. And then it means a living being, and it means in the past, and it means in all three genders. That means that in all three genders. The same word, sambhuta, should be applied to the person described in verse 6 with saeva, pratamam, deva, and other places as well. With a desire for creating the worlds collectively and individually by Mahatattva, Ahankara, and other elements. The Lord of Vaikuntha accepted the form of the Purusha, which, like the full moon, with 16 digits, Sodashakalam, being full of forms like Matsya and Kurma, Sardar Dardarshini 131. The Lord manifested Jagrihe, the form of the Purusha, Parusham, before creating Mahatattva and manifesting the Jivas. Why? He did this in order to manifest the places for the total, samasti, and individual jivas, vyasti, as the universe, loka, shishurik, shaya. Because unless there's a place, how do you do something? You don't do something in space. So that's the fault with these impersonal philosophies, is they're trying to establish something that lacks a space, lacks a place, right? And so, but at the same time, as they'll insist that, you know, it's Brahman, it's in Brahman, and this and that, though he can't establish anything, but it's everywhere, like this. So there's the need too, but you can't. You know, it's just like, you know, you're trying to plug something in and it's not working and the light flickers on, off, on, off, on, off. You know, keep playing with it to try to get it done. So that's the way their brain is functioning. And that's as good as it gets. Yes?
So the basic answer to this doubt is that it's not created, it's manifested.
Yes.
Is that the end?
Yes, yes. Means it's always there. In other words, all these elements that are there are already in Krishna. So when Vaikuntha is expanding, it's just manifesting what's already there. It's just, it wasn't manifest before, that aspect. Same with the material world. Purusha avatars, they're always there. These elements are always there. You know, and even the laws that govern them, they're already always there. So everything's already there. You can't have something that's not already there. You know, otherwise, what do you create it out of? Where does that come from? You know, that's why the doubt comes up as, okay, well, you know, God created the world, who created God? You know, and then they have that smirk on their face, ha ha ha, now I've defeated you. It's like that. No, but that's what God means, is he's the source. You know, it has to end there, because if you say, no, no, but anything that has there, it has to have a source, then where does that go to? That means then there is no Shaktiman. So then how do you have energy? That's not logical. They say, well, I'm being logical, but electricity is there because there's a generator. You know, there's a loaf of bread because you have your bread machine. You know, so it's just, that's the way it works. No?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, there's a loaf of bread because of baker.
Yeah, like that. You know. That. So that's the whole thing, is that in logic you always see there's a source. So that means you can't have infinite regression. There must be an original source. And then the answer to this is that it's not create, it's manifest. That then ends that cycle. It gets stopped by that. Yeah. So that's very important.
Because we, you know, many times we get into details discussing with the devotees,
mm-hmm.
but then that, you know, the doubt is that simple. Whether it's manifested or whether it's created, because basically I also figured out, because of the background,
mm-hmm.
all the Abrahamic, mm-hmm. they describe secondary creation. They start from second. They don't have anything previous to that.
No.
So time and space, this is where they function. Mm-hmm. But the Lord, in the primary creation, he's beyond time and space.
Mm-hmm.
The time is injected.
Yes.
And so that part is really beyond, you know, material logic.
Yes.
So the cause and effect works. That's why the causal ocean is between there and here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we understand this point, then everything falls into its own place.
Yes.
But
yes.
Then if not, then we think, yeah, created, not created. Is it eternal or is it like temporary?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the, yeah, this is the like main doubt.
Yeah, no, and it'll have so many forms.
Yeah.
You know, so because if we're created, then that means Krishna created us like this. That means then it's his fault, not mine. I don't have to work, he should work. He wants me to go back to Godhead, he should put in the effort. You know, but if we're manifest, then, you know, then it becomes our choice. Yeah, so that's the point of this kind of discussion, because you get down to that where you can root out those elements. If someone has that commitment and that faith, you see then so much of these things go by the wayside. You know, like those early devotees and they're associating with Srila Prabhupada, then they don't even worry about any of this. It's just Prabhupada said it, that's the way it is. You know? So it's that's the aspect. So it's mentioned that the Uttama Adhikari, then they can elevate one, you know, up to a very advanced level very easily.
Yeah.
While the mundi or kanista are more restricted in what effects they can have. Yes.
Also, Maharaj, in the presentation, generally we first try to see Brahman, then Paramatma, which mm-hmm. is being discussed till now.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to Bhagavan.
Mm-hmm.
But always there is something which is like inconsistency in our realization there, because when we move from Paramatma to Bhagavan, then why at all then? What is the difference between these different forms
mm-hmm.
and then the original Krishna like that?
Mm-hmm.
But as we always speak about the descending way, when we see that first there is Supreme Lord Krishna and his internal potency Radharani.
Mm-hmm.
Now because both of them are there, then there is a need for expansion
mm-hmm.
in order to assist the pastimes.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we are discussing on those six opulences.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then Krishna poses in full, that's how Radha Krishna are interacting, and then if there manifests only few of them in one, then all the Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Niruddha, they expand from there.
Mm.
So when we see from first Bhagavan, then come down, then that's how the inconsistencies are removed.
Yes. Yes, because that's difficult. We want it through logic to understand it. Point is, this logic is coming from the Lord, because He is logic. You know, He is the reason. Because logic just means something happens in a predictable manner, and so therefore everything being Him, it manifests according to His nature. So when things don't go according to that, that's where we see things are illogical. But the point is unless you understand Him and understand that this is how it works, then one will see is that if I'm that our process of logic, the inductive, it's not working according to that, therefore it's illogical. When it's actually inductive logic is illogical. It only has validity as much as it is observing the deductive logic. But they don't know that that's what they're doing. It's like it becomes deductive when they say it. I observe it, I make my thesis theory on that, I present it, it's accepted by the intellectual community. Now, myself and others will speak this knowledge, and that's now called deductive knowledge, rather than no. They inductively observed already the deductive knowledge. So their authority of deductiveness comes from the original deductiveness, but they think that no, I have created the deductive. That's the problem. Yeah.
Also, for many questions, Prabhupada would directly answer from Krishna's perspective. That was Krishna's desire when mm-hmm. you ask some complex question about mm-hmm. creation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem is the person himself, if you give detail, the person himself may understand a little bit and get distracted by that mm-hmm. detail rather than... Nobody has that much level of commitment and sincerity that they will take the detail and go and connect back all the way up till Swayam Bhagavan.
Mm. Yeah, because the point is that you're answering questions to clear doubts so that you can be engaged in devotional service with that faith and commitment. But if by discussing that they'll become more distracted, then what's the point? Like so many times when you're discussing technical points, then someone will mistake it and understand it in a different way, and then you have to spend more time trying to get rid of that, you know, distraction. Then. Yeah.
So we see that you know, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that people, those who met him directly, immediately were convinced just by seeing his beauty and by chanting the holy name.
Mm-hmm.
They, there's no description that they studied any philosophy. Maybe yes, maybe not, but that wasn't the main point.
Mm-hmm.
Then we see the Rupa and Sanatana, mm-hmm. they wrote the Granthas. Mm-hmm. But they didn't use so much logic in there. Mm-hmm. But then we see Gopal Bhatta. Is it Gopal Bhatta that
yes.
you mentioned? Yeah, Gopal Bhatta.
Who originally wrote.
Yeah, and Jiva Goswami. They canonized mm-hmm. the whole teaching. It's mm-hmm. super logical. Mm-hmm. So that those who saw, they were convinced just like that. Mm-hmm. And then Rupa and Sanatana, they explained like in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and then I mean Lagu Bhagavatamrita, it is a presentation of Sambandha Gyan by Srila Rupa Goswami. That's obvious. Mm-hmm. But then like Nectar of Devotion, it describes mm-hmm. the process. Mm-hmm. And it has its own logic, but yeah. it's not based on logic.
It's not trying to defeat doubts about devotional service. It's dealing with obstacles you may have within devotional service.
Right.
So then, yeah, done.
Yeah. So then, Gopal Bhatta and Jiva Goswami, mm-hmm. they did their part, mm-hmm. and then from them we see the Narottam Srinivas and. Shyamananda, mm-hmm. they just distributed it because they had everything, mm-hmm. and they studied under Srila Jiva Goswami.
Yes, yes. Then you see is that then establishing the Vedanta within so that's within the Vaishnava community. Then with Baladeva Dibhushan, then we established our philosophy amongst the Sampradayas,
right?
Like that. Then we see with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, now he is bringing this into the modern context of, you know, thought or non-thought patterns, you know, however more or less liberal you want to be. And so then he showed that because what he says works today. You know, that's the whole thing, is he showed how you cross. I mean, it's not that all these points were always there, as again your point that you're making. It's just a manifestation of these things. Points are already made before, but because he didn't have people that doubted the Veda, doubted the culture, you know, the religion, they didn't doubt those. It was just maybe what's your ultimate goal that you want to get from it. That may be, that was sort of the question, but that you followed the Veda, you followed, you know, Varnashram, you followed these things, that wasn't the discussion. But now that those are doubted, then you just apply the logic and get into finer and finer points. Because otherwise, if these things aren't there originally, what is Sankarsana talking about with his thousand heads? You know, what's he talking about? You know, just one of the heads that you already said that. What do you mean I already said that? Yeah, no, I'm sorry, you said at least three times and all that. You know, then that becomes the discussion. You know, it's that these, you know, down to the atomic level can go, and then it's going on unlimitedly expanding. That means you can talk on that atomic level unlimitedly. That's a very good. It's very important to understand it, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur is making the point very strongly that through logic you cannot understand. Just no ifs, no ands, no buts. But it's not that logic won't be satisfied by the Vaishnava explanation. It's just that you need to have, it's by that association and by having that faith. Then, so we're using it because if you say something logical, people go, oh, okay, this guy is thinking, he's not just a sentimentalist. Then they'll have some faith in what you say, and then you can speak. But the point is since Krishna is the origin of everything, and by observing everything, you get what's called modern science, and their so-called logic is based on that modern science. So that means originally, means if you go back, their sense of logic is based on the Lord, but through an inductive process instead of, you know, self-centered and only as much as they appreciate. So there is no, this whole thing is that, you know, the, what do you call it, that the synthesis of science and religion is that science is simply the study of religion. That's all. That's all. It doesn't even get into the philosophy. It just is, you know, the rock does this. But the point is that's following the laws of nature. So that's the religion of the rock. So scientists are technically just intellectual inductive religionists. You know, maybe don't say that to their face, but that's actually all they are. You know, and then they come up with their philosophy on that religion, but they're not really philosophers. Because they don't know why their religion's working. That's what philosophy is explaining.
Yeah.
You know, so the greatest thinkers, then they're actually just atheistic religionists. You know, they specifically avoid. It means if they were broad, open-minded, and you know, the critical thinking, then that there is God is a 50% chance. If you're just talking on chance, it's 50-50. But that 50%, they'll 100% ignore and say, no, there can be a God. But then that's not logical. That is sentimental. That is your own opinion. By logic, 50%. So that's the thing, is that so that's why then the Acharyas go through so much and then show and all that. So what the Acharyas are saying here, with that, then amongst the devotees you can say that, and it should be accepted. But if you're dealing in a non-Vedic environment, and that, or a non-Vaishnav environment, then you're going to have, then all these finer details are going to be able to remove those doubts. And if you've grown up in a, you know, a combination of that, then even more. Yeah. But as long as they have the back to one, then they stop there. You know, God's put the jiva into the womb with the mother, and then they're born. But where were they before that? That they don't ask. It never is asked. Yeah. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur points that out. Therefore, they can't get into, you know, so many aspects of the philosophy are lost, and therefore then so many problems come up. Because if you're trying to present people with only part of an equation, then when they ask something that's out of the part of the equation that you're working with, then all you can do is just say you have to have faith, or, you know, or if you're, you know, being logical and it makes sense, then you're the devil. Or, you know, and it's just, it gets really messy.
Yeah, this is another point of confusion for many devotees. Because in one place it is mentioned that our approach to the Lord, it's not through logic, it's through Shabda. It's we don't use Pratyaksha and Anuman.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side, it doesn't mean we don't use logic.
Mm-hmm.
We don't approach the Bhagavatam from that point of view.
Yes.
We hear as it is, or Bhagavad Gita.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean we don't use. So to balance those two, it takes, you know, a lot of education.
Hence 12 years.
Yes. And more,
yes.
That's a free bonus.
But you can look at it that 12 years works, because we were studying Bhagavatam 2 years before we started. Remember, we were doing the second canto, first, second canto, and all that for 2 years.
We were not here.
Are you sure?
No.
We did.
You weren't there when we were doing second canto?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Oh.
We came in the year that we did. Something.
Yeah, yeah, we studied something, but it wasn't Bhagavatam that year.
Was that, I think, the 6th verse?
Yeah. The 6th darshan.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it would be better if it was Bhagavatam.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because when you're approaching the Lord, it can't be through logic. Because the ascending will get us the descending. But then in that, applying that descending, see, that's the difficulty. Because if you say that, oh, then you know, you don't use logic. But the point is if you're using descending from Shraddha comes Anuman, comes Pratyaksha. So the point is I take the Bhagavatam point that's being made, then I look at the situation I'm in. I try to connect them. So I see this, I see that, what's the missing in the middle? That's the Anuman. And so then I work with that until I see the syllogism work. Then I can, with that verse, I can see. So when Pratyaksha, you see, you know, through the eyes of Shastra, when you with Pratyaksha, then you've actually understood. So that what you see confirms what you heard. So, you know, because an example will be given, but that's a specific example. It's given because you can use that now with Anuman to apply to any other situation. But then, unless you apply it, you may not get. You know, but by association, then so many things come up and all that, and so many things are revealed. But if not, then you make that effort. So that's the thing, is we apply it, but from the descending point. So first is Shabda, then is Anuman, then is Pratyaksha. Because otherwise what you see may not be real. You say it's real, but it may not be. You know, just like for the baby standing right on the edge of the top step of the stairs is perfectly fine. You know, by their Pratyaksha. But it's not necessarily the best spot. You know, and the mother is using Anuman. She knows the kid's there, then what's the next thing? And why does she know that? Because of Shabda. She's hurt, you know, like that. So, because kids are like this, therefore in this situation my kid could do that, therefore... yeah. So it's just... That's the sad part about this so-called, scholasticization of the movement, but they're introducing inductive scholasticism, not deductive. And so it's not necessarily a value or a service to the mission. You know, you can say, oh, we're making people think, but you're making people think in a funny way. Now, if you know how to think, and the only way you could get them to think was through inductive, fine. As long as you think deductively, and you are, how you say, what do you say, you know, you're seeing it as it goes? Like something's going on, like somebody's, you show them something, you're watching them to see what they're doing, when they make mistakes, you correct it as it goes and stuff. Yeah, supervising, like that. So you're supervising in that such a way that when you see it come up, then you'll address those things until you can get to the point where they can accept that deductive is actually a valuable way of thinking. Because otherwise, it's just thought there's only inductive. You know, you have a Western degree from a Western university, then you're intelligent, you know how to think, when it's actually no. You know, it's not.
Yeah, I was thinking about this point, why movement is going into that direction. And my conclusion is that it's easy, actually. Mm. It makes immediate sense to the audience when you use inductive. But then to do what we do, it requires, you know, time and investment and qualities which you have to develop. If you didn't have them, you have to develop those qualities during the course. Yeah. Otherwise you can't accept it, just doesn't make any sense.
Yes, yes.
So it's immediate and it's you know, the fruit is right there. Not the best fruit, but something is there that you can actually, you know, immediately
adore you.
Yeah, durian.
It's a fruit. Not the best one.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, so many take that pass.
Yes, no, that's there. It's easier and all. But then the difficulty comes is that there's a faith in it that it's superior. And not even an understanding that the deductive exists. And so, okay, you could say this, but you know, if someone's new, then what do you expect? Okay, but the problem is this, these people aren't new. You know, we're talking 30, 40, 50 years here. They're not new. And we see is that the acharyas, when they present, they always present this samasti and vyasti aspect. So it has to be applied. In other words, you're going to, because Krishna's desire and that, then you have icha, kriya, and jnana. But when you apply it, you're going to start from your position. You know, what's the knowledge? What's the sambandhi jnana? Then what I do it? Then I apply that. Then, because the goal is like that. So you do use both. But you have to understand is that there is the natural form, you know, because it is in a certain way. But then that's the problem, is it's because of a Western degree they're recognized. Because bhakti, it means people respect degrees, that's understood. That's why you see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then he had a whole system of degrees on all kinds of levels. You know, we've heard about the Acharya degrees, but he had so many others. So someone was a manager, they had a degree for that. Or someone was a pujari, they had for that. Or a preacher, he had for that. And so you see, if you see some older writings or things where it mentions the Gaudiya Math, you know, preachers and swamis' names, they always have letters after them.
Yeah.
Like that. And so it was partly, people want that then put. So then it should be, you know, like that, you know, and we put that, and devotees can put that after the name, and that, what does this mean, you know, and then you explain. It's an opening. You know, it's always looking for an opening to talk about it. You know, what do you call that?
An icebreaker,
yeah, icebreaker. So there it is, you know, you've got it on your card, and it has there, you know, BS or whatever, you know, like this, Bhakti Shastri or Bhakti, you know, whatever it is, and then it's like, oh, what does this mean? And then, oh, yeah, you know, where's that from? And oh, I studied here. And, you know, and it just is an opening because people are into exotic things. At least if you're from these major universities, they appreciate. And anybody who's into that, you say that you studied in India, you know, for so many years and this and that, and not sure, they'll think, wow, this is more far out than me sitting here and, you know, Harvard and studying. But somehow or another, we're thinking it's better if you sit in Harvard. But the guys in Harvard won't think like that. Guaranteed.
Always better,
thousand. Yeah, the grass is better. Yeah, it's yes. But everybody knows grass comes from this side, so.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. They had been merged within him, right? So that's when they originally there. The appearance of Paramatma from Bhagavan is described in the third canto. Bhagavan, who exists in the form of Paramatma in Brahman, according to the viewpoint, alone existed before the creation of the universe, when the desire to create bodies of the jiva was absent. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.5.23. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead is described herein as the master of all other living entities. He is like the sun disk, and the living entities are like the molecules of the sun's rays. The existence of the Lord before the creation is confirmed by the Shrutis. Vasudevo va idam agra asit na brahma na chashankara. Eko vai Narayana asin na brahma neshana. Because everything that be is an emanation from the personality of Godhead. He always exists alone without a second. He can so exist because he is all perfect and omnipotent. Everything other than him, including his plenary expansions, the Vishnu Tattvas, is his part and parcel. Before the creation, there were no Karana Daksha or Garbha Daksha or Akira Daksha Vishnus, or was there Brahma or Shankara. The Vishnu culinary expansion, the living entities, beginning from Brahma, are separated parts and parcels. Although the spiritual existence was there with the Lord, the material existence was dormant in him. By his will only is the material manifestation done and undone. The diversity of the Vaikuntha Loka is one with the Lord, just as the diversity of soldiers is one with and same as the king. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 9.7, the material creation takes place at intervals by the will of the Lord, and in the periods between disillusion and creation. The living entities and the material energy remain dormant in him. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.5.23. Interesting how the Prabhupada is just explaining exactly the same point. And also, you see, he's referring to that example as given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So it's already, it's already there. The point's there. But we'll just take it as a general, it's a general point. You understand it and have it, it's fine. And you're good. You're solid. But you can see is that if you want to get very, it's particular about the point, then Jiva Goswami brings that out. But then when you see, read back, you see, Prabhupada's already said that. So it's not that it's Prabhupada just gave some, he didn't get into these. No, you see exactly Prabhupada saying the same thing. It's the same point. We just don't understand that there's all these points. We just read these things and Prabhupada is speaking, and he's always speaking from that angle of that descending angle like that, and so therefore then we think he's always saying the same thing, which he is about Krishna, but the detail and the point we see is it's always dormant within him, and that's Jiva Goswami's point here. That's the point of the Anucheda. Bhagavan, Lord, finish that?
Yes.
Mention the Bhagavatam?
Yes.
Okay. Bhagavan, Lord of Mahavaikuntha, in his Svamsa expansion as the Purusha, Paramatma, full of potency, at a certain moment of time, placed the jivas into Maya, which became agitated by the Kuna, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.5.26. So, specifically, he's using the Purusha and Paramatma to describe the material manifestation.
Yes.
Because in the spiritual world, you only deal with Bhagavan. They may have the flavor. Just like the Shanta Rasa had that flavor of Brahman, but it's those qualities of Krishna. They're just the unlimited qualities of Krishna. They're just so much appreciating that much alone is they appreciate. And since that's unlimited, then you can go on unlimitedly appreciating it. Yes?
Just technical one. I keep forgetting. The Sandarbha itself is those quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam, and Udriti is that what we had.
Yes, Udriti means that it's, let's say, like here, he's explaining, in other words, he's taking Bhagavatam verses that explain the whole philosophy, and he's putting them together in a progression that we're able to step by step appreciate it. And because the various verses have so many elements to them, that's why you'll see many times the same verse coming up in many different places. Yeah, so same verses come up in so many places because one verse is talking about, let's say, okay, Krishna is talking, says, I spoke this to the sun god. So then you understand Krishna is the original, he spoke like that. But you also understand then there's the aspect of parampara. Then there's the understanding of transcendental knowledge. Without that, even material knowledge lost. So let's say those three different points might be come in three different places in your explanation, and you use the same verse. That's what they came up the other day, they did the Bhagavatam Yajna. And so all that Yajna is all of our Bhagavatam verses that are, it's supposed to be that you guys know, right? Right. I mean, all this time I've taken is, yes, for the kids, fine, because they'll just memorize it with the rules around their clan. But the adults is kind of like, you have to remember the Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya verse here.
That only is difficult to remember. To remember that we are Manda.
Yes, so the point is, can't remember. So I've always said this, we're not going to use verses, memorization of verses, as part of the adult course. But that's been a point of contention where those in the bureaucratic side don't appreciate our course because of that one point. So then, you know, we have to say, yes, we're doing it. So last year we worked out what were the shlokas and all that. So they use that for the yajna, you know, it's for all 12 cantos. But he was saying that some of the verses are repeated. You know, because Bhakti Vinod, we're using the 20 points. In other words, the finer points of Dasamul to put all the verses, and then they're in an order so that when you read it, like Bhagavad Arkamichi Mala, just on its own, you could read it and it would make sense philosophically, like that. And so then, so it's like a mini Bhagavad Arkamichi Mala. Like
we know mini. Bhagavad Arkamichi Mala, which is Sandarbha, is based on two verses. Those two verses we do know.
Which two?
The Jamsakala Vamsaya and the Nandistatattva
Vidaha. Oh, okay. Yes. So, okay.
That is.
Those two, you know. Yeah.
We know Hare Krishna.
We know Mahamantra. Yes, so. You got all the essence.
And we know that Prabhupada, in the original introduction to the Mahamantra, he uses that word. It's not an artificial imposition on the mind.
Yes.
He actually uses that exact word, yes, which is aropa from the Sanskrit. It's an imposition. So here, that word is mentioned also. So it's not.
It's not.
That.
Yeah.
It's natural.
It's natural. Yeah. No, this is one of the hot topics, is it natural or not, due to the injection of mundane consciousness from a leader of one of the Apasampradayas, but was so respectfully, hosted. It's like that one podcast, at least three different people sent me stuff. You know, some go, hey, check this out, this is far out, and oh, this and that, and then, you know, you're like, oh, well, what to do? Yeah, okay. All these forms are real. Sambhutam Mahad Adibihi, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.1 means united with Mahat Tattva, etc. The elements like Mahat Tattva were within the Purusha, for it is said concerning the night of Brahma. Santa Shadir Pita Bhuta Sukshma Kalatmika Shaktim in Yudhi Rayanaha Uvasa Tasmin Shalile Pade Sve Yatanalo Daruni Ruta Viryaha. Garbhodaksha Vishnu, containing within himself the jivas and their subtle bodies, after having discharged his energy of time to destroy the three worlds, resides in his abode below Patala Loka, within the water, just as fire resides within wood, with its energy concealed. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.8.11. Udriti Srila Prabhupada. After the three worlds, the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems, merged into the water of dissolution, the living entities of all the three worlds remained in their subtle bodies by dint of the energy called Kala. In this dissolution, the gross bodies became unmanifested. But the subtle bodies existed, just like the water of the material creation. Thus, the material energy was not completely wound up as in the case of the full dissolution of the material world. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.8.11 purport. Right, so then here in Garbhodaksha, he brings everything within, and then it goes back out again at the end of the day of Brahma. And then Brahma in the morning again recreates, but then it's again just manifesting from the Lord. It is well known that some combined with bhavati means to be united, as in the phrase sambhu yambho tim abhyeti maha nadya naga pageti. The great river approaches and unites with the ocean, Shishupal Vada. This is the explanation of Sambhuta Maharadibhi, as mentioned above in Srimad Bhagavatam 131. The form described in Srimad Bhagavatam 131 is the first of the three Purusha forms described in Brahma Samhita as Sankarsana, who lies in the Karana ocean. Since he is responsible for creation of Mahatattva, he manifested Jagrihe, this form for creation and destruction of the universe. In order to respect his power in other situations as Bhagawan rather than Paramatma, he is described as being full of all Shaktis. Shodasha Kalam means perfect with 16 parts full moon. A full moon, yes, it means the 16 parts of the moon. Though he is, because the moon is then, he's losing a part like this, you know, at a time, you know, that it, and then again they go back. Though he is the ocean of Swarup Shakti, he is the creator and destroyer of universes by the actions of Maya through proximity rather than contact. Being the expansion of Bhagavan, he is said to engage only with his Swarup Shakti.
This point is very tough. Proximity and contact. Mm. Because Vishnu, although being Guna avatar, he does things by proximity, but only Brahma and Shiva do things by contact.
Contact, yes.
So, you know, how the Lord entered and remained aloof from the material creation. If we understand this point, then again, everything else makes sense. Mm. But if not, if we think proximity and contact are the same, mm-hmm. which most devotees actually mm-hmm. think like that, because, you know, they're just not careful enough to read those. Because it's right at the beginning mm-hmm. of the Bhagavatam.
Yeah, 131.
But then everything is upside down in the discussion and this and that, whether he entered or not entered, this, that, who entered, was it this one entered, but now we see that how the whole thing unfolds between these three, you know, Purushas.
Yes. That's it's very, I was just thinking what you said. No one, you know, really understands, or he's right in the beginning. It's just like, if I say, what's happening in the Bible, what's going on, what's the chronology, where are people going to start?
Creation.
That, but they're going to start with Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
But there was a page before that.
Why?
No one talks about that.
Well, but that depends from your soul testimony or the Bible.
No, but even if you're talking about the Bible, no one's going to discuss about how the sound came and this and that and those things so much. They're going to mention that everything comes from the Lord and that, but they'll summarize that but then get into detail from Adam and Eve.
Yeah. Everybody is attached to their apple.
Their apple.
To their apple.
Yes, yes. That's why they're the most rich company. Yes, they're
apple. But just they always say it starts from creation.
No. You say it's there, but detail of creation is never discussed. That's what I mean. So that's like Prabhu said, is that it's right there in the beginning. It opens with that, but basically people will start with more of the incarnations and stuff there. But these points, you know, it's like what's in those you know, the beginning part of the third chapter, you know, the second chapter, where it's describing about, you know, what's there. A few verses devotees will know at that point, but these are the basis on which it's functioning. This is that, you know, these were. Where were those two verse? That verse. What did he say? That was. The Vedanti Tattva.
Yeah, Vedanti Tattva Vyasa.
Where is that?
1-2.
Oh, 1-2-11. Yeah. So it means there's so many very major, you know, verses in that one in the second chapter. You know, that are. But before, devotees would know a little bit more, but they, you know, they didn't have such analytical experience. But they would talk a little bit more of this stuff before. It wasn't in depth, but there would be at least there was the idea.
Can we say, Maharaj, that the least indirect stuff was around, the more devotees would go into the direct stuff. Now there is so much available.
Yeah, so they're going to indirect, but unfortunately, because the indirect in the Vedic is still descending, the tendency is, you know, we're going for scholarship, so we're going to approach it from the modern kind of academic. You know, if I'm going to study this, why not get a modern degree for it? But then they're going to study it ascendingly, and they may not quite actually catch what it's saying. They might, because of their own determination, own sadhana and their association, but the process they're using, it's not going to give them anything. You know? Because that makes, you know, it's like, how many who have degrees in Indology actually spend time in India and have, you know, appreciate the Vedic culture? Not many. So that's the thing, is that, so, you know, how many Egyptologists live in Egypt? They don't.
Also, historically, we see that the Veda was spoken before.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons, now we can see that when it's a spoken tradition, or when it's audio tradition, then the need of the guru is you know, you need a guru.
Yes.
Because you can read it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But now we can see with the development of the internet,
mm-hmm.
nobody needs basically the guru, because I can read, yeah. and as you explained, from inductive, mm-hmm. I can understand everything. That what people actually...
But they are approaching guru, it's just not a personal
guru.
Yeah,
Google guru.
Yeah.
So to study like that, it makes people very proud.
Yeah.
I did it myself, I don't need anybody, yeah. What assistance is there? I just write the right combination of letters, and everything is there, and I can apparently... You know, even connect things,
mm-hmm.
you know, this yeah. was that and this was that. But then Veda was also, the tradition was protected by that it wasn't written.
Mm-hmm.
Then you couldn't just, you have to go and serve and be humble and, you know, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Which people nowadays, they call it, it's a whole trip.
Yeah.
But it isn't actually.
Yeah. What's not a trip? You want some toast? It's a trip. Yeah.
So this becomes real difficulty, and nowadays we have Zoom marriage.
Mm-hmm.
This is devotee's definition. If I can watch Zoom, why would I go there? Why would I experience inconvenience?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to get out from your room.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
Is an inconvenience. In you away from your toaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a serious challenge to nowadays generation.
Yeah, yeah. There's also Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a point in talking about bad qualities, that these are obstacles in devotion. And so one of them he's talking about is superstition.
Mm.
You know, and superstition means that you have some kind of opinion on, you know, something that the connection between the physical and the metaphysical and those kind of things, and so then you only see it and then from superstition, then you get prejudice, you know. And then from that prejudice, then, you know, you have that narrow-mindedness, and then from that develops that, you know, an identity, develops pride. So just what you're talking about, that all develops from that, because then it's that you have that prejudice that, no, this system, because the point is if you actually appreciate and understand the deductive, you have to become humble. While the inductive, like you said, you can become as puffed up as... You can pull off before someone finds a fault in you. You know, you can get, that's how big you can get. Until someone finds a fault in your theory, you can get that big. You know, unless of course you're Fauci, and then you can. So like that, it's based on that prejudice that this is better, that this is that. You know, what could be there? You know, because probably introduced late 60s, he started talking about these degrees, yeah. You know, like that. And then Satsarup was the only one that kind of took it seriously and did something in the 70s. I think in the kind of early, mid-70s, he did something with it. And then later, others started picking it up in the 80s and, you know, 90s and more. I think the VTE came in the 90s like this, but it came in because then they could approach it from the inductive. And then comes out that pride and everything like that. So it becomes it's a difficult thing. You know, because who doesn't want to, you know, because then you have good, solid identity, you can be confident of yourself and everything like that. So it's a difficult thing. Riti. Having explained the non-difference of the Paramatma and Bhagavan aspects, next Adhikarana describes the Paramatma forms with details concerning form, actions, and location. So basically you want to understand Paramatma is Bhagavan, but he's taking on certain features. That's why then he's called Paramatma. And it's just an aspect of Krishna that's already there. So it's not a separate. So that brings us to Adhikarana 2, which we with on Monday. Yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.